Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Two, three, four.
Taryn watches live feeds all day long. Brent's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit. And Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh. They're the LSD. They don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
And welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. I'm here, happy to talk about Big Brother Canada once again. It's a hopping house right now. Lots of stuff happening. No, I'm not going to try. Like, it's kind of boring right now, I have to admit. But I am hopeful that things will improve. I mean, something has to break sooner or later, and I'm hoping that the double eviction, things are moving fast, people make mistakes. I'm hoping that might actually cause something here.
I thought you were going to refer to Dane when he wins HOH. He hops a lot.
He's like a excitable, like, hockey football player guy. You know what I mean? Like, he just, man, we did it. Yeah, he's like, we just had a RuPaul's Drag Race, and... the name is eluding me, but
somebody hopped.
The guy who was on the panel, he talked like a total straight guy. He was like, yeah, that's just how I see things.
Well, there you go. But with teeth missing, somebody who does not have teeth missing and is also with us tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm great. I think it's pretty, it's a weird season when I feel like the last time I talked on this podcast, there were people that I was not a fan of at all, who now I am a fan of, and people who I was a fan of, I'm now not a fan of at all. So it's like, it's kind of weird how each week is just totally topsy-turvy of each other. And I'm kind of liking that, because if I just had one favorite the whole time, I mean, that wouldn't be fun at all. So this is pretty exciting, pretty strange season, but I'm excited to talk about it.
I've got to say, it's pretty fun for me to watch, because, you know, normally what happens is the underdogs or the fan favorites, or at the very least, the people who aren't helping the people in power. And so this season, that has gone back and forth all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Sam totally. And Chelsea, they're the worst. Kiki and Esty forever. Oh, my God. Kiki and Esty, they suck.
The
Sam
worst.
And Chelsea for life. Okay, back to Sam. Back to Kiki and Esty. Okay, maybe just one of them. Okay,
no,
but Damien and Corey. But no, not Corey anymore. Corey's canceled. But back to Esty. No, back to Chelsea. Nope. Now back to Sam. It's pretty fun.
Adam, anybody? Adam?
Adam, even Adam. Yeah.
No. I'm honestly starting to like Adam a lot. Like, I don't understand where that happened. Like, I'm so confused. I hated Adam. And now I was like, get him out. He's garbage. Get him out. Now I'm like, okay, Adam, we got this. We can do this. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? I feel so confused. I don't feel like I can... I feel like I can't go back. I want to tell everyone, like, don't go back and watch last week's podcast. Like, don't listen to anything that crazy Melissa said. Now this is sane Melissa. And then next week I'm going to say the same thing.
Well, there you go. We are here to argue about what's been happening on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. Every week we are live on YouTube, and you can join us in the chat if you want to chat with us all along the way. That's what the chat room is for, chatting. So come hang out with us. So let's get into this. Let's talk about the week in Big Brother Canada 7 on the feeds. The last time we spoke, Kaylin and Damien were on the block, and it was looking like Kaylin was probably going to go home. Kaylin did, in fact, go home, not without some bumps along the road. She eventually did admit to her actual age, which, side note, led to another funny conversation that happened just today between Eddie and Corey. If you remember correctly, when Corey first joined the house and the live feeds turned on, people were talking about, there's no way she's 29. We thought they were talking about Kaylin. They were actually talking about Corey. Well, really both of them. But so for a long time, people have assumed that Corey is older than 29. And so Eddie confronted her about that today and said, look, some people are saying that you're lying about your age and that you're actually older. And I just want to let you know, I don't care. I'm fine with that. In fact, I want to work with the older people in the house. That's what I wanted to do coming in. And so I wanted to work with the older people in the house. So I hope you know that I don't care how old you are. And Corey is just like, oh, I'm really 29 though.
She's like, I'm actually 29.
Born in 89.
So apparently that's the thing to lie about these days is, are you 29 or are you not 29? You know, that's the fake age.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that they look older than what they're telling you they are? Like, if they're lying to you, they're lying to you for a reason. What the hell are you doing, Eddie? He just continues to disappoint. And it's just a symptom of his overall shitty gameplay.
Oh. Yeah. I feel like, so my birthday is coming up pretty soon, actually, just over a week away. And so I think that my strategy now is I'm going to get ahead of this lie. So about a week from now, I will be turning 29. And that will be true for the next 10 years. And that's how it's going to work.
Right. That's fabulous. What I plan on doing. So
fabulous. Yeah. All right. So Kaylin did last week admit to her actual age and the fact that she was married and had kids. And that didn't really do much. However, we did see the exposure, or what we thought was the exposure, of the Pretty Boys when Dane was talking to Adam about Kaylin's house meeting. We saw that play out on the episodes. Ultimately, it leads nowhere because in the HOH competition, after Kaylin is evicted unanimously, Dane is going to take the win. And this is something that I tweeted out, but I do think it's worth bringing up here. Dane has talked multiple times on the feeds saying that it came down to him, Damien, and Sam. Dane has already won an HOH. He doesn't feel like he needs to win another. And so he's been saying that if Sam had gone out first and it had come down to him or Damien, he would have given it to Damien, which would have been all kinds of different, because Chelsea and Sam were on to the guys. I do believe that Damien would believe them if they came to him and told him about their ideas, and all sorts of different things could have happened. At the very least, he would have gone after Adam and Sam and potentially could have been swayed to do something like Adam and Mark, or Adam and, you know, I don't know. Who knows? All sorts of different things could have happened. But ultimately, it doesn't here, Brent.
Yeah, it doesn't. And that's disappointing to all of us who really wanted to see something happen. There were so many different ways that the HOH competition could have gone for us to really get what we wanted. Sam could have won. Sam could have dropped out and he would have thrown it to Damien. Damien could have won. Anybody else could have won. I mean, it was basically anybody's game, buzzer competition like this. And to be frank, Dane was the one who was taking the most chances with like getting food and shit. And of course, he never got punished for it. I was just angry about that. I don't know how I feel about this. How do I feel about this? I feel, here's the thing. I feel a little annoyed with the way things are going in the Big Brother house based off the incredible season that we had last year. And by the way, I just want to say to the cast of Big Brother Canada 6 that I apologize for anything negative I said about you, because you were all freaking gamers. You were gaming the shit out of Big Brother Canada, and these people can't hold a candle to you. Having said that, the people who are currently in power are the Pretty Boys. And the problem is that everybody else is playing so terrible that for the first time in a long time, I am not rooting for the underdog. They're so freaking terrible. Like, I feel like I want you to, you're going to get your medicine. You're going to like it. Yeah. Well, I'm really freaking over him. Like, snap out of it already.
Yeah. I'm starting to agree with Brent too, because the most annoying thing about it is the fact that they feel so confident in what they're doing. Like, at least like Kiki and Esty are like, we're running this house. Like, we have this person, we have that person, we have this person. It's like, okay, stop being so cocky, because you guys are really, really bad. Like, you're not good. And so that's what it's frustrating to me, is that they're so confident in what they're doing when what they're doing is so wrong. And like it, and they think they know the layout of the house, and they think that they've got all these boys wrapped around their finger, when really like they're on the bottom of the totem pole. And it's frustrating to me to see that, because if they were sitting there like, okay, something's going on here, I feel like we're out of the loop on something, like, can we trust this person? We're being more like questioning of things. I would be like, yes, you're thinking the right way. And every time I feel like they're thinking the right way, then they turn around and go like, no, we got this. Don't worry about it. We're killing it. And I just hate that sort of like cocky attitude when like you shouldn't, when you don't have anything to be cocky about. So yeah, very annoying.
Part of me wonders if this formula, the brigade formula, also has an effect on the audience in a similar way, because thinking back to Big Brother 12, the biggest underdogs for a while were Brenchel, and they were not liked in Big Brother 12. They were liked in Big Brother 13. And then you had people like Reagan, and Reagan had his own kind of following, but he was also kind of hated in a lot of different ways. Brittany was, of course, loved in a lot of ways, but also really, people really were crapping on her that season. And so yeah. I feel like people weren't rooting for the underdog as much, but they were also kind of bored with the season overall in many ways. I think that there's something about this formula that's not only effective in the Big Brother house, but also in some ways neutralizes the underdog effect, because you have all of the underdogs working for your success.
Right.
There's no scrappy underdog that's like, someday I'm going to get power and take down their castle, because their castle is built in concrete and they can't take it down. They don't even see that it's there.
Yeah. And yeah, you're totally right in that, like, because, you know, the part of the formula of the brigade is to have those side alliances, and those side alliances are normally what you would consider to be the underdog. But when the underdog is literally doing everything they can to facilitate the win of the main group, like, that's not an underdog anymore. Like, I mean, they're an underdog, but they're not a rootable underdog anymore, because they're not like going against the stronghold. They're literally helping it and facilitating their win. And it's just like, you lose any sort of underdog or undercat credibility, you know?
The underdog has to know that they're the underdog.
Yes.
And if they don't,
I was just going to say, the thing is that they sort of do understand what's going on, at least like on the surface. I mean, they were talking, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the twins were talking about the fact that, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, that was by design, that they intentionally got Anthony closer to Corey and Dane closer to, you know, Este, and Mark closer to Kiki, kind of, you know, that's iffy, but whatever. Adam closer to Sam, like that was their plan, which that is their plan. That was their plan. Now, they may be sort of correct in that Dane may be more loyal to them, although he did say earlier this week that he was more loyal to the Pretty Boys. But on the other hand, I still don't buy it. Like, it's, I feel like somewhat exonerated, because if you remember on this podcast a couple days ago, I said, how the hell are they going to target Sam and still keep Adam in line? And eventually chickens came home to roost. The invoices came due. They realized they couldn't do that. And keep Adam. So I felt good about that. So I'm hopeful. I'm feeling good about that. And I'm feeling good about this as well, that Dane, I actually think he would really go for the girls in the end. I don't think he would go with the guys if push came to shove, but that's maybe wishful thinking as well. I'm kind of just, this is how I am at the beginning of a podcast, folks. I'm kind of just all over the place, giving you my stream of consciousness thoughts on whatever the hell I want to talk about, because I'm really annoyed with the house this week, but I kind of don't know who to blame, because the Pretty Boys are playing well. They are doing well. I will give them all the props in the world for what they've been able to do. There's some people who are playing really badly, and there are other people who are not playing at all. And I am sort of at a loss about how to evaluate some of them, but I guess we'll get into it.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I go ahead. I just was going to say one last thing. I think it's hilarious how, like, in the beginning when Adam was like, I'm going to have my own brigade, we were like, oh, sure you are. Okay, cool, Adam. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is the new brigade, guys. Like, everyone's comparing it. Like, it's actually working. Like, maybe it is just that is a viable strategy that's going to work every time, no matter who's in it, as long as they follow the formula. Like, it's totally possible that, like, everyone from now on is going to be like, that is a workable formula. Like, you just have to do it. You have to follow it. And that's how you win. Like, we could see a million brigades after this.
I think there are a couple of things to point out here. You know, one of the reasons why I think I know I in particular was like, Adam thinks that he can create the brigade again. But listen to him talk, because what he was saying was, I'm going to get exactly four guys, and then each one of us is going to get one other person, and then we're going to be an 8-person voting block. And that's kind of how they started. They had an 8-person thing going on, but it dissolved. And because what I was saying was, that's not going to work. It needs to form naturally. That's the only way to make this work. That's the secret to the success, is that you come together early, you make unnatural bonds, but you bond with each other through the secrets that you tell each other and through the lies that you have to tell everyone else. That bonds you together, and it keeps you together through the real relationships that you create after that. And so then those real relationships are easy to manipulate because they're real. And so that's kind of what ended up happening, even though he went in with a very strict formula. It kind of dissolved into something that worked a lot better. And then the other thing that I think that is important to consider is something that I brought up at the start of this week, which is 3 out of the 4 HOHs thus far have been pretty boy HOHs. And I think that these people have needed that much time to form what they've got going on. The brigade even had a lot. It had a 2 of 4 with Matt winning a bunch of HOHs and doing the right thing by keeping Brenchel around to be big targets. They also kind of needed that time to get everything running, because while it's a very good formula, it's very fragile at the start, at the beginning. Once you give it time to seep in, that's when it really starts being effective. So I do think it's a very winning formula, but it does require a little bit of luck, and it requires a little bit of time to really solidify.
That's good. Yes, Melissa, I would take your point, because as Tara notes, it takes time. Like, we saw what happens when it goes great, like here in Big Brother Canada 7 and, you know, in Big Brother 12. But when it goes badly, it's the moving company, where things just, they're unnatural bonds that are put together and they don't have enough time to gel. And they don't have, you know, enough time to bond with each other. And then it just goes immediately down the hill and people get freaked out by
or
it.
El
that
Quattro.
Hasn't happened yet. Yeah, exactly. And that Quattro, another one. Yeah. Just if you see a bunch of douchey guys who are all hetero, just like, assume that they're working together.
That's the thing, is like, every single season you have the bro alliance, whatever that may be. Maybe it's 2 people, maybe it's 3 people, maybe it's 4 people. What? Maybe it's even bigger than that. Maybe it's like bomb squad kind of thing. But when you have like a bunch of guys in the house, you just need to automatically assume that they are working together, that they have something going on, whether it's like a bro alliance or whatever. But you need to just, it, the safest thing to do is assume that they are working together, and do not underestimate them. Like, that is the key, is like, get rid of the bros early so that they cannot work together, because otherwise they're just going to run the table with winning all the challenges and everything like that. It's like, you got to just assume they're working together.
Yeah,
and I have to say that if the producers are unhappy with this season so far, and I have to believe that they are not loving it, don't cast people like Adam on the show, who tells you in confessional, in the interview, this is what I'm going to do. I love the brigade, and I think that they were awesome. Don't put those people on the show. Put other interesting people on the show. I don't know why you have to cast this person. I mean, God bless him. Adam's a sweet guy. I'm not dumping on him, but he said it at the start that that's what he's going to do. Nobody likes to see that. Nobody likes watching this.
Adam seems like a really nice guy, but the thing is that I don't like any person in their initial interview when they say, I want to create a bro alliance. Like, that automatically turns me off of them. So, like, I don't like it when people are like, I'm going to start a girls alliance. You know, I just don't like any of that sort of talk, especially in the initial interviews, because you know they're just going to come in and just like ramrod this like bros alliance down everyone's throat. And yeah, I don't like it.
I'm gonna create a rule. I'm gonna call it the Cody rule, which is that if there are multiple alphas in the house that get along with each other, that means they're working together. If they're trying to get each other out because they're trying to be all alpha, that means they're not working together. It's very simple. The alphas can only work with betas. They can't work together unless there's a secret deal going on. That's how it works.
No, that's actually, that's true. Like, if you see a bunch of alpha males in the house and they don't seem to want to target each other, and they're fine with keeping the other person in, even if they're not like actively like, no, we got to save him. As long as they're not actively like, no, we got to get him out, then they're definitely working together. That's just what it is.
Put that in your book, Taryn.
And I will also say, I'm not necessarily enjoying the pretty boys per se, but I am enjoying the feeds and the game right now. I've been talking about this on the updates, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. There's some stuff that I'm not as much of a fan of, like the Kira Chelsea stuff, which I'm sure we'll get into. But apart from that, the game dynamics I am interested in. I feel like it's been a while since I've seen a game play out in this way, and it's very interesting for me. So I will say personally, I am enjoying it. I know some people are not, but I know there are also a lot of people out there who are enjoying it. So I am here for you guys, as Brent and Melissa might be here for the people who are a little more frustrated.
I'm middling. I'm not totally enjoying it, but I'm not totally hating on it. I've seen much worse. And there are some days where I'm really into the feeds and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And then other days where, you know, once Dane won HOH, it was kind of like, okay, well, you know, there's not really much there. Like, I was really loving it that day up until he won HOH. So it just goes back and forth. Once I kind of know the outcome and it feels like nothing's going to change it, then I kind of like lose interest, which I feel is pretty standard.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There you go. So actually, this is a good time to bring up the form. As everyone knows, every week I tweet out a form for people to fill out where you rate the players and you also can rate the week in Big Brother and many other things. So this week, the episodes were given a rating of 5.6. The feeds were given a rating of 5.49 and the week overall of 5.38 from the audience. This is up from last week. I'm a little bit higher on that. I actually was enjoying the episodes. I feel like they're not missing a whole lot. I feel like I've noticed a little bit less filler in the last few episodes this week. So I've kind of been enjoying the episodes. I've really been enjoying the feeds. So I'm much closer to, I gave the feeds an 8. Nikki agrees.
If I can stop you and speak for the audience for a second, what are you enjoying so much about the feeds? Because from where I'm sitting, here is my frustration. I am totally frustrated with the toxic relationship that is Chelsea and Kira. I am annoyed at the twins for having the information that they have and doing absolutely nothing with it. And I don't know what the hell Corey and Eddie are doing. And the pretty boys are running the game. I mean, I guess it's interesting to watch Mark. I have enjoyed Mark over the past few days.
It is interesting to watch Mark, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Very interesting.
He's a very quirky guy. Weird aside, but like Mark is one of these guys who, like, he's not stereotypically pretty necessarily. Not that he's ugly, he's just not pretty. But his weirdness, quirkiness about him, it to me is somewhat like inviting or enthralling. Like, I want to know more about him. At first, I thought he's kind of douchey, and I'm like, oh, you know, what the hell is this? But now I'm kind of like, I feel like there's more behind his eyes that's going on, and I feel much better about where he is in the game right now, if that makes sense.
I think it says something that I sat there and watched Mark talk to Kira, to Kiki about his entire life story for like 2 hours. And I sat there and watched the whole thing. Like, I was just like, there was something, especially with Kiki, because she hates him. And it's, I don't know, there's lots of interesting stuff going on there, with Mark, but this,
like, his social game is still shit. Yes. I don't want people to misunderstand
and
me.
He is definitely just douchey and arrogant.
Yeah. All of those things are true. I know that, but there's something there that I find intriguing.
He's just it's interesting to like think about like how we got there, and he's kind of a contradiction of sorts in many different ways. He's lived an interesting life, but this is slightly down these ratings from last week. That the ratings for Big Brother Canada 7 have gone slightly down week to week so far from the audience. But I will say personally, I think it probably went from middling to kind of higher for me. So there you go. Anyway, back to the recap. Dane is our new HOH, and what he wants to do is he wants to put up Chelsea and Kira and then backdoor Sam. Now, he promised Sam safety, but he still wants to do it. You know, Anthony is...
So messy.
Yes, it is. It's very messy. And he even goes as far as to promise Adam that he won't do it. He then promises Sam multiple more times that I will not do this. And then he's still talking about doing it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, Melissa.
I don't understand, because at this moment in time, he's planning, Melissa, on backdooring Sam. Why are you going to tell someone who is your stated ally and member of the original alliance that would destroy you if exposed to the rest of the house? Why would you tell him this knowing you're going to betray him? It's not like he tells him this and then later on decides, oh, I need to break that promise.
Right.
Like with Mackie.
Right, exactly.
Going into it knowing that I'm going to betray you and I'm still going to give you my word. That is just terrible.
Yeah, when the whole Mackie thing happened, you know, we were all like, well, we get it because things changed and he didn't mean to break his word. Now, apparently, he's like, well, I've done it once. I broke the seal. Like, now I'm just
the seal is broken.
I don't care anymore. I'm just going to promise this and that and the other thing. And you'd think that at this point, people would be kind of like, oh, okay, well, we saw that his word didn't really mean anything. And, you know, now why would I believe you? But I guess people don't notice it yet because it hasn't come to fruition.
Exactly.
Yet.
Yeah.
When it does, it's going to be really bad for him. I mean, I just think that this is not a smart move at all. It's not a smart move to do the backdoor anyway, but also to you know, promise all these things and to like outwardly promise it to multiple people. It'd be a lot better if he just was like, look, like I don't want to, like I have a plan. Like the plan is just to keep things the same. And then like, not like promise it on anything. I just feel like there are ways of twisting words around it so you don't have to actually say it.
And Taryn, I don't think that he needs to make this promise. Like, it's here's the thing. I want to make clear to people that we do not have a problem with the fact that he is lying. That's fine in the Big Brother game. You can bounce checks in the Big Brother game. It's not a big deal.
I was going to say, I keep expecting him to say you can bounce checks in the Big Brother house.
All well and good, but this is unnecessary. There's no need to do this. You can do it in a softer way. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. However, ultimately, Dane decides not to go through with the backdoor Sam plan. And because of that, I think retroactively, it does make this a good decision to be so firm with Sam. It's made Sam very comfortable with Dane and the guys. Right. And that's how I feel about a lot of the stuff that Dane has done, where it's like they've been coming for Sam and Chelsea for so long. And I've been thinking like it's not the best move in the world to do that, except they just happened to figure them out right before they went after them. And now it is the best move for them to do that.
Game's like falling into a good gameplay. It's like
we love that.
So ultimately he nominates Chelsea and Kira. And I will say, and I gave him some props this morning, I think definitely Dane is somebody I feel is improving as time goes on in the game. He does a very good job of turning the whole house against Chelsea. The various alliances that she was trying to create, and she was trying to create them on because Adam wanted her to, because he wanted to get them closer to Dane and Anthony, and so that's being outed. Her final two with Eddie, because Kiki overheard them talking, and so that's getting outed. And then of course the fact that Kira was not included in any of these alliances, which was intentional on their part, he's dropping that information on Kira, and it's basically turning the entire house against Chelsea, including Kira to some extent, who is going to lay some massive guilt tripping on Chelsea, which is completely neutralizes her from this point forward as a player, which is unfortunate.
Here we go. I cannot stand this relationship, and I am so glad that the veto was not used and that there's no flipping twist that's gonna mess this up, because one of these two people has got to go for my sanity. Yeah. I can't stand listening to him anymore. It is so disturbing to me what is happening in the Big Brother house right now. The fact that Kira has a beast mode-esque relationship with Chelsea. And to be clear, Chelsea has not done a great job of saying, you know, like, here are the lines, do not cross them, or I'm not interested. She herself has, you know, allowed cuddling and face touching and back rubs and things like this to the point where it could give somebody else a different interpretation of what's going on. But still, Kira's behavior in the Big Brother house is terrible. It is stalker-esque. And it has gotten to the point where I believe, and other people believe, that Kira has choked the game out of Chelsea. There is like, she is just, she wants to give up. And I feel terrible that she wants to give up. And I am going to come for her in the fact that she wants to give up. But I sort of get it, because in order for her to do what she needs to do, like for the you remember when she almost got mad at Kira like yesterday and was like, you know, this close to going off and was going to like expose Kira and call a house meeting. I was like, yes, please do that, because that will create a clean break in the house. And then you'll be able to go off and campaign and do what you need to do and play the game, because I believe that you got some chops and you can't show them as long as you are in this toxic relationship with her, them. And it's just frustrating to me seeing her handcuffed. But part of the fact is that she has handcuffed herself, Chelsea, I'm talking about. She has allowed this relationship to become a anchor around her game to a point where now she is just totally given up. And I am embarrassed to say that I took her first, because there's just no game here, Melissa. There's no game. She doesn't even care.
I will say, if you want more detail about all of the things that are happening between Kira and Chelsea, we talked a lot about it this morning on the live feed update, so I would recommend that. But just for those that are unaware, the kind of Cliff Notes version is, after Kira heard from Dane that Chelsea was trying to make alliances without them, that they confronted Chelsea about it. They really laid a guilt trip, like, how dare you? I trusted you. I got played by you. You used the fact that I had a crush on you. Chelsea felt really bad, and that's been going on for a while. Until yesterday, when Chelsea finally started to think, wait a minute, I feel like I'm being emotionally manipulated at this point. Chelsea tried to confront them, and they turned the emotional manipulation around on Chelsea again. And so Chelsea conceded again. And basically, Kira's been talking about how they have a crush on Chelsea. They feel like they've been led on, or that there is something real. They flip back and forth between they've been manipulated by Chelsea, or Chelsea actually is really into them. And it has gotten to the point now where the most recent thing that's happened is that, after numerous times that Chelsea has said on the feeds and to other people and to even Kira themselves that, she is straight and that she has a boyfriend, Kira is saying to other people, hey, my plan is I want to get Chelsea really drunk so I can kiss her before she leaves. And then they're planning a truth or dare, and they're asking Dane, hey, can you make sure to dare me to kiss Chelsea? After we get a really drunk. And it's just like, whoa, man, this is just so much and so bad. And I really, like, for all of the things that Big Brother Canada steps in and like chides people for and stops from happening, like, I really don't understand why they're not doing anything about this so far.
Yeah, that is so outrageous. It's just beyond the pale. And I know it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like I'm upset with both of them, because I really did like them both last week, because I mean, literally like on Thursday, because they were like, we're going to go against the guys. They had all this information, and I was so excited for the three of them, including Sam, to go against them and to, you know, band together, possibly unite Kiki and SC in this. And of course, Kiki and SC poo-pooed it because they're so lame. But then, like, now it's just this whole terrible thing. And I'm upset with Kira because they shouldn't be doing any of this at all. Like, if someone's not into you, they're not into you. Like, get over it. And then Chelsea, like, come on, fight. The fact that she's like, I just am saying this for the cameras. Like, I don't even want to do this. I don't want to be here anymore. It's insulting to all the people who wanted to be a part of the season and who try out every year and who don't make it in the cast. And then, you know, also the fact that what Taryn, you were saying on one of the morning updates about how she's so image conscious that like, it just, she Chelsea. Doesn't want to look bad. Yeah, yeah. Chelsea's
very,
yeah, bad.
Very concerned that like that very. Kira is just totally genuine and that she's been the asshole that's been mean to Kira. So she doesn't know how to handle the situation, which leaves her in this sort of like just frozen position here.
Yeah. And so instead she wants to give up. And the thing is that, first of all, like, I understand, you know, not wanting to look bad, but like, suck it up and play the game. First of all, second of all, if you really don't want to look bad and you're like, there's no, I will not campaign against Kira, then why don't you find another way around it where you're not campaigning against Kira and instead you're talking up all the points of why you would be good to help people or why you should be the one that they keep around, why you're good for their game. Like, you don't, if you're on the block with a friend of yours and you feel uncomfortable with campaigning against them, don't campaign against them, campaign for yourself. And there's a difference there where you don't make the other person look bad and you don't just like drag them through the mud. And instead you explain to each individual person, like, look, I am here to help you. I will help your game, whatever it takes. Like, and you go to each person and talk yourself up. There are ways around this. And I just feel like she is just, she doesn't want to try. She doesn't care. She's
over it. She doesn't
want
to try because in order to do that, Melissa, she doesn't even have to throw Kira under the bus. That's, I get it. She didn't want to throw Kira under the bus. I mean, I would still do it, of course, but she doesn't want to do it. Fine. She has to throw Sam and Adam under the bus. That's the one thing that she probably could do is to keep herself in the house, just to throw Sam and Adam under the bus. She has a ton of things that she can say about Sam in particular that would have made people say, okay, like if I actually like convince people that I feel betrayed by them, I will go after them. They have screwed me over. But she refuses to do that as well.
But
she
will not,
like, it's like, friend, it's like the summer camp.
That's the thing, is like, okay, so she doesn't want to go against Kira. Fine. We're finding alternative methods. She doesn't want to, let's say she doesn't want to go against Sam. Okay. Let's say that's the other reason. Well, then talk to Sam and say, hey, this is what I need to do to stay here. And you need me here because these people are all going to go against you. So I'm going to say this stuff. I do not want to go against you, but I'm going to say it so I can stay in the house. Boom. Then, so Sam's fine with her. Then she goes to the other people and says, like, I need to get out, Sam. I'm here to help you. Whatever she has to say. There are ways to get around campaigning against allies of yours. And even you just have to get creative with it. Maybe it won't work, but at least try. I just don't understand why she won't even try. It's just this sort of like quitting mentality, especially from these people who come into the game being like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what it takes to be here. I'm so excited to play this game. And then all of a sudden, like, they just like crumble. It's honestly, it's very, this is the most annoying of all because like, okay, Mackie, yeah, he sucked, but we knew he was going to suck. You know what I mean? Like, we knew that was coming. With Chelsea, we had really high hopes for her and we thought that she was going to do well.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now this is, it's like, if this feels like a letdown, whereas the Mackie thing was like, oh yeah, well, you know, you sucked and we knew you were going to suck. So, you know, we called it.
With Mackie, we blamed production. With Chelsea, we blame Chelsea.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, this is the Chelsea thing. And it's
and really she has funny. It within her. That's the thing. She has it within her. She's watched the show. She understands the game. She has an inkling of what she needs to do. She has information, stuff that she could do with the information that she has. Mm-hmm. And she refuses to do it. She refuses to get her hands dirty because she's so damn image conscious about how freaking Canada sees her. I have never seen somebody in the history of reality television who gives such a damn about what their country and the American public thinks of them. She cares so much about that it is totally handcuffed her. She cannot play the game that she needs to play. And she is in a terrible spot, let me just say. So in order to do what must be done to get out of this spot, it's going to require some work and some dirty work that's not going to make her feel great in the immediate future. And by the way, Sam, a girl by to her too, because I don't know what the hell she's doing. She's apparently decided that Kira, like the reason she doesn't want Chelsea to blow up anything is because she's decided that I guess that Kira is a willing ally right now. So if she has that, she doesn't want to screw it up. So she's sort of like giving the heave-ho to Chelsea. But I feel like Chelsea is a much stronger ally in the game and always going to be a target in front of you. And Sam needs a target in front of her right now. So anything she can do to get Kira out of the house, I mean, it would really behoove Sam, I'm talking about, not to mention Chelsea, who would save her game. So
yeah, I mentioned this morning, but I think that really the only way out for Chelsea, and I think it was a very solid way out, was prior to the veto being used. Basically, the veto happens and Corey wins it. Corey will do whatever Anthony and Dane want her to do. So the way out for Chelsea is she has information on Sam. She knows that Sam is onto the guys, that Sam is, like, she can say Sam is targeting the guys. She can say all kinds of stuff about Sam.
Anthony, coming for Anthony. She knows what he's doing. He's behind everything. There you go.
If she go, and Anthony and Dane were already so close to backdooring Sam. If she goes to them with that information and says, I will be loyal to you guys, I think that they, at the very least, would just throw Sam up there on the block next to Chelsea, at which point she's got a much better chance at staying, if not a pretty good chance at staying. But she didn't do that. She didn't do much of anything there. The ceremony happens and both Chelsea and Kira remain on the block. And honestly, at this point, there's really nothing that I can see that would even come close to changing this vote. She would need, I believe, 5 votes of 9 votes to stay. And I can't even see her getting like 3. That's like really solid. There's no way I'd even see her getting anything close to more than that.
I know that Sam and Adam are her 2, you know, presumed votes. I think she needs to cut bait on those 2. She needs the boys. She needs the united pretty boys behind 100%. Her. And the only way she can do that is to just like totally be like, I was betrayed. I'm coming after them. I don't care if I lose this game, but I'm going to get them out first. And I will do that for you. I have no other, basically the Godfrey speech. I want your blood on my hands. And I don't even know if that would work.
Yeah, her strategy has been, I'm going to go after Dane. I'm going to do the Godfrey on Dane. Dane's running the house, everyone. Don't let Dane run your game, which like fair. That's kind of what's happening. But it's also the case that he's running the game. So unless you're able to dismantle that, well, you're not going to get anywhere.
And Taryn, it's so disingenuous, though, because she's like, oh, he's such a really nice guy. And, you know, she goes to him, no hard feelings. I had to say that. And I'll go, no, get your hands dirty. Oh God, I almost swore, but I'm just like, I'm so mad at her right now. I'm just like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah. And
it's not even because I took her. It's because I thought that she could be a great player. I'm sorry. I'm really upset.
No, I'm with you. I mean, if you look at, Christina Z's, she has put together a wonderful statistical presentation on the round table and the stock watch and everything. And, Chelsea and Anthony are the 2 highest rated players all season long. In fact, you 2 have Chelsea on average as your highest rated player, and the audience and myself had Anthony, but like she's right up there in all 4 as either 1 or 2, and so it is definitely a disappointment to see this go down. But I mean, even to your point, Brent, about going to the guys, I want to see her try, but I mean, if you look at it from the guy's perspective, it's like even if Chelsea went to them and said, hey, Kira's not really with you. They're actually telling me everything that you're telling them. They're just trying to get in good with you and play you. They're going to be like, great. Thanks for the information. They're still way less of a threat than you. Know you're coming for us. So see ya. We'll just get, maybe we won't take Kira to final 5. Maybe we'll just chop him off at final 8 or something. So
not great options.
Not great. Really, this is one of the most, concrete votes I think that we've had on a round table this early. I really don't see it flipping.
Now it is. Yeah. Like, there was so much she could have done earlier. They could have saved her. Even like after Dane got HOH, there was so much she could have done. And I just feel like she didn't do any of it. And if anything, she just like talk to Dane being like, I really feel good about us. I feel good about you. Like, and just saying those types of platitudes to someone, like it does nothing.
That's all it is.
You have to give them solid, tangible information as to why they should keep you and why, you would be a good asset to them. And why, it just telling them like, I feel good with you doesn't mean anything. Cause they're going to be like, yeah, well, I don't feel good with you. Yeah. Like,
she's doing right now, Melissa, is like, I deserve to stay. Like, I deserve to. That's
all. Like, no one deserves anything.
No one gives a shit about that, Chelsea.
Yeah. No one cares.
Well, let's talk about the state of the house here. It's like I said, the dynamic is kind of interesting, but it's definitely I don't even want to say one sided because it's there's not even sides, really. There's really just one side. So yeah.
Like a week ago when we had like a 5-5 vote and it was a completely split. Those were the days.
No more. We have the pretty boys, Adam, Dane, Anthony and Mark. They have a lot of influence over the house. They have different groups. groups of influence. They've got Adam, Chelsea, Sam, and Kira as one group of influence. They've got Dane, Kiki, Esty, and Mark a little bit in another one. They've got Anthony and Corey together influencing her. And then really, Damien and Eddie are the only two that aren't directly influenced by the Pretty Boys, but they are indirectly influenced by them in many ways. So, you know, it's not like they're the underdogs that are like, we must fight against the Pretty Boys. It's like, no, like they're like, we got to get Adam and Sam out. So then we've got within the Pretty Boys, Dane and Anthony have a final two. Dane has confirmed to us that he plans on taking Anthony to the final two, despite the fact that he's worried that Anthony might be able to beat him. So I don't know how much he will stick to this idea. He's definitely like thinking maybe it's not the best idea, but for now it seems like he wants to stick to it. Dane has also been talking with Adam and Mark about like, hey, I don't think we can beat Anthony in the final two. Just letting you know. So Dane is the one really working within the Pretty Boys the most in terms of end game, while Mark is a little more subtle about how he's been playing the Pretty Boys, not actively making final two deals, but definitely playing up to each one, you know, feeding into Anthony's ego, playing the sympathy card with Adam, and bro-ing it up with Dane, definitely doing a good job in that sense. Then we have the Young Bloods, the group, I guess you might call them, the Kiki, Esty, Dane, Mark, and Damien. They're all kind of grouped together. Kiki kind of hates Mark, but also sometimes doesn't hate him, but mostly does hate him. Esty kind of likes Mark, but also doesn't trust him. And then Damien kind of doesn't mind Mark, but also doesn't trust him a whole lot because he heard from Corey that Mark's playing both sides. So there are a lot of different groupings within this one. There's Kiki, Esty, Dane, and Mark, where they almost named an alliance the other night. There's Kiki, Esty, Dane, and Damien, where Damien's kind of left on the outs, but he gets along with them. There's Kiki, Esty, and Dane as a trio. And then there's Kiki and Esty as the Young Bloods themselves. And then there's kind of Esty and Dane, who have a kind of flirtmance going on where, you know, Dane kind of has a crush on Esty, but Esty doesn't really reciprocate, except for the fact that the other night she was kind of like, hey, I told Dane to stop cuddling with me so much, and then he stopped, and then I was kind of like, ah, I miss it. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of something there. So that's kind of what's happening on the Young Bloods end of things. And you got the Chelsea people who are really crumbling at the moment. Chelsea, Sam, Adam, and Kira. Obviously, Chelsea is on the way out here. Sam and Kira are bonding a lot more. They're starting to become a bit of an item in terms of the game. Chelsea and Sam were the closer people, but Chelsea's on the way out the door. And then you've got, of course, Sam and Adam. Sadam. They're, you know, they're still alive and kicking. Yep. And then finally, this is not really an official thing, but I included it because I needed something other than just basically the Pretty Boys. Damien and Corey, they have a budding relationship. They're have-nots together. They had a great conversation the other day, and they're really the only relationship that's not directly, as I mentioned, directly influenced by the Pretty Boys, but they are indirectly really influenced by the Pretty Boys. But I could see them getting together and working together and being some kind of glue that makes something work somewhere, but probably not. And that's the state of the house. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah.
Boring. It's literally just like, okay, there's the Pretty Boys and everyone who's fallen under their spell, like little
and loser. Here's how they're controlling all of these people in the various groups.
Yeah, but, you know, that's really lame. It's literally like, here are the Pretty Boys and then here's all the other little garbage minions. Like, it's like very bad. It's very annoying.
Yep.
I do find it interesting. This is kind of what I like Big Brother for. It's interesting why this is effective. I don't know. That's interesting to me, and it's interesting to see it play out. But I do agree at the same time. This is not a very contentious house at the moment, but I do have hopes that it might be someday. Let's get into the stock watch. Are you guys ready?
Yes, before we do that, we just need a little bit of paranoia to sprout within the Pretty Boys. We just need a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I do think that if Chelsea's going home, I do not understand. I'm like, this is where I'm like totally in with Adam. Like, burn the place down. Like, what the hell are you doing? You're going out pre-merge here. Pre-merge, you know what I'm saying? Pre-jury. Like, do something. Give us something. Give this good TV something. You know, you can keep your image and still call out some of the people in the house who you're not even really friends with. People that you don't even like. Do something about that. Call out the boys that are working together. Leave Adam out of it if you want. Call out Mark and Anthony for working together. And Dane, like, just, I mean, I don't know if they even know about Mark, but do something, anything to change the status quo so that even if you are evicted, like, the fans will stand you. It will help her if she cares about her image. And that little seeds that she plants on the way out, you know, people will, they people remember stuff like that. And it will, like, if anything comes up that adds to that seed, it will sprout and it could become something. So,
yeah. Chelsea absolutely could throw a huge wrench into the whole Pretty Boys operation on her way out if she wanted to, like, because she has the information, she has the theory down, she has evidence for it. And if she is, you know, just resigned to the fact that she's leaving, she could just be like, look, I understand you're voting me out. That's fine. It's totally cool. I personally felt embarrassed when I found out that the guys were playing us all, and I don't want the women to be just trashed all season long. So I need you to know this information before I leave. That might get into their heads, but they also might just be like, can you believe what Chelsea told me, Dane? Unbelievable. So don't get your hopes up too much.
I mean, things are so bad right now, and I don't mean to make you shudder, Taryn, but I find myself really wistful for the days of the spy twist where we were going to get, so one house guest was going to get video information on somebody. We were like, what could, and then it ended up being a big, you know, wet nothing. I'm like, can we bring that back and just make it a little bit more pop? Because, but then again, Damien would probably win, and he doesn't know what the hell to do with any information, so.
All right, let's get to the stock watch here, and we're going to rate the players out of 10 based on their game this week, how they're doing. A 1 is basically a Victoria or maybe a Mackie, a 10 being something like a Dan Gheesling or maybe a Tyler in his prime here or there. So let's get to it. I asked the audience as well to rate the players. We got some responses based on the form that I tweeted out on my Twitter page. And so let's start with Dane. Dane, who last week got an average of 5. I personally gave him a 6. And I've got to say, over the last week, I've been thinking about this. I've been talking about it on Twitch as I've been watching the feeds. I really feel like I, at the very least, and maybe everyone, has been underrating the gameplay of some of these pretty boys. I feel like, at the very least, you need to be an average player to get away with what they're getting away with, despite the fact that you need luck. So, you know, anybody that's under 5, I'm definitely going to bump them up. And really, I'm just going to bump most of them up just a little bit, because they are just running the house at this point, and it's hard to not give them higher ratings. And I do feel like, you know, I've been a little down on them. So Dane, this week, I'm going to give him a 7. I think he's doing really well socially. I think he's doing really well strategically. Honestly, the only reason I'm not giving him an 8 is because he's won 2 out of 4 HOHs. And as good as this seems right now, I remember the days of Big Brother Canada 6 when Erica had won 2 HOHs back to back. And we were looking at her like, wow, she's in a pretty good spot. And then a twist totally, you know, knocked her out. But even without the twist, she wasn't necessarily going to be in the greatest spot because of how many competitions she was winning. So, just because he's here and he's won a bunch of competitions, I'm going to give him a 7, not an 8. But he is doing well. We talked about it. He turned the house against Chelsea. Everybody trusts him. He's in control of the most amount of parachute alliances. And he's in one of the best spots of the Pretty Boys. So lots of things to like about Dane's game here. I gave him a 7. Melissa, how about you?
Yeah, I'm giving him a 7 as well. Because I think that he's done a really good job maintaining those relationships. I thought for sure people would see through what's going on right now, and especially with him winning HOH when he didn't need to, I was like, there's no way that's good for him. But you know, Kiki and Esty are still like totally on the Dane train, and he also didn't end up backdooring Sam, which I thought was going to happen, and so I was really worried about that, thinking that that was a bad move for him and he was going to have to then, you know, betray Sam and Adam, and it was just going to be bad overall. So, you know, I'm impressed with the way his HOH reign has gone. But yeah, I agree. Like, winning too many HOHs all at once is not a good idea. And so I'm a little worried about him for the future, but I just feel like people don't see him in that sort of way. They don't see him really as a threat because, you know, it's the tooth thing. I'm telling you. You know, they the second he puts in the teeth, he's a different person. But so I just feel like he's doing a good job, and I gotta give him props.
All right, Brent.
Did you give him a score?
Yeah, I did 7.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I missed it. I apologize. I must have zoned out and was reading the chat, as I do sometimes. I will also give him a 7 as well. And for this reason, he has been more proactive than I thought that he even could be, to be honest. He has taken it upon himself to make sure that he is protected in a few various different ways. You know, Final Two's here, and then he has new relationships with the girls, the twins, who, you know, obviously they believe in him. And here's the other thing. They know, the twins, what's likely going on. And yet somehow Dane's social game is good enough to convince him, well, he's really loyal to us. So we know what he's doing. He's hiding shit from us, but we still trust him because he's such a great guy. That tells me that he's doing great. In fact, I'm like Taryn. It was not like 7 and almost a 6. It was 7 and almost an 8 because I feel really, really positive about the work that he's done in the Big Brother house this week and all throughout the season. I feel like it's culminated with the second HOH win. I know it's not necessary. I get that. But there have been other people who have won HOH twice in the first 4 weeks, and then they're still not viewed as that big of a threat. Melissa, I totally take your point, but I do not think they see him like an Erica. Erica won that freaking veto where she's like, you know, trudging through, like, you know, killing the guys and just
Tomb Raider. Totally
thank you. I couldn't remember what
the outfit was. Too. It's like, I mean, you look at her and you're like, this is a movie star. Like,
yeah, exactly.
An action star.
And when she, by the way, when she walked into the Big Brother house, Erica, I'm talking about in Big Brother Canada 6. She looks so gorgeous. Oh my God, I remember when she turned my head. She looks so good. Erica, we love you. We miss you. Anyway, so Dane is a 7. I'm glad to see that he has really surprised me, you guys. I really thought he was a doofus. He's not a doofus. He's pretty smart. I like where he's at.
Even Chelsea being sent home by him this week he's such a nice guy.
Such a nice guy. Yeah. And I also agree with you, but that most of that it's the tooth thing too. Mm-hmm. It's the tooth and the accent a little bit. Like, he seems like he's not intimidating. And also the HOH competition that he won, not to belabor the point, but it's just like standing there with the buzzer, you know, and they were both like, you know, like it was a millisecond. So
And he also being goofy during that, like stuffing down pizza. It wasn't
exactly
like,
great like, for his image. Yes.
It was like literally just like, oh, this goofy guy. Oh, he just lucked into it. Like you're just more thinking about like the fact that he was like stuffing pizza down his face and like giggling about the farting and stuff. Like you're not thinking this guy's in it to win it. Like.
Yes. Now, there has been very recently, you know, Mark has kind of been talking about like, you know, he might do something a little weird on in the next HOH if he wins. And so a lot of people are now starting to think that maybe he's talking about targeting Dane because of a comment that he made earlier, just a couple of hours ago in the storage room to the cameras after he had a conversation with Dane. Dane left and Mark said, he's a dead man walking if I win HOH. Personally, I am not on board as much as some other people are in terms of thinking this definitely means that Mark is gunning for Dane. It's kind of out of left field. It doesn't make any sense at all for Mark's game. And even if he did it, I feel very confident that there's no combination of people that would send Dane home in the double eviction. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be worried about that either. I think it would just blow Mark's game up. And really, if I'm being honest, I don't think this is going to happen. I barely even think it's a thought of Mark's. Maybe we'll see more, but for right now, it's just kind of a random comment that might have been misinterpreted. We didn't really get to see more. He didn't even actually say Dane's name. He didn't even specify when he was going to do this or what, even if the goal was to make him go home. Maybe he means dead man walking in the sense that he's going to take out one of his people in SD or Kiki. Who knows? But I personally do not give a lot of credence to the fact that I think Mark is really going to gun for Dane in the double eviction. Maybe we'll see more in the coming days, but you know, I'm sorry, Nikki. I'm sorry, but I don't see it right now. Right now, I really just don't see this as a possibility. I don't know if you guys disagree.
Nah, you're such a party pooper.
All right. Well, the audience gave Dane a 6 out of 10, not quite as high on him as the rest of us. And that's kind of going to be a theme just to spoil it for you guys. The audience was not as high as I think a lot of us will be on many of these people.
I get it. I get it. I mean, I expected that. I thought there was no chance in hell that the audience would go 7. In fact, I thought they might even go 5, to be honest, because it's really hard to root for people who are currently in power. I get it.
There you go. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So let's move on to Chelsea. Chelsea, who is, like I said, looking like she's got one foot out the door. Brent, we'll start with you.
Oh my god,
I have my Dancing with the Stars paddle and I'm currently holding up the one for those of you who are listening to the audio version. What the hell, woman? I've already bitched about her enough. I don't even know what the hell to say, except for the fact that I don't know how she got on the show. She has so much great raw talent, we thought, and I feel like we were sold a bill of goods. I was talking to Matt Allegory about this. Like, I feel like we were sold a bill of goods, and this is who she was. Like Matt said on the roundtable on the morning update today, we've only seen her for 3 weeks. Like, maybe this is who she is. She's not an alpha. She's a beta. She gives up. She doesn't care. Let me go home. Boo hoo. Let me cry my milk. It's just frustrating to me. Again, she has the information, and she will not do anything with it. She won't throw her friends under the bus. You know, nothing's fair in Big Brother. It sucks that you might have to throw Adam and Sam under the bus. It sucks that you might have to throw Kira under the bus. Do it! I mean, you're playing a game for $100,000. If you care so much about your image that you would rather just roll over and die so that you sort of look good on the way out, then why the hell did you come on the show in the first place? I'm just really annoyed. There's lots of things to bitch about with Chelsea's game, but I'll let the other two take it away.
Melissa, what do you think?
Oh, I'm vacillating because I don't like the idea of giving somebody a one, but I just
she's
feel
given
like
up, Melissa.
She's given up, and I feel like I was thinking maybe I'll give her a two because there's a possibility that something could happen and she could stay this week. But I just feel like the more we've talked about it, the more I'm like, I don't know if there is a way for her to stay this week. I don't really see any situation where she does stay because I feel like even if she does turn on her allies or anything like that, I just don't see people rallying to keep her. I don't see a situation. I mean, unless a miracle happens and she goes to Anthony and somehow convinces Anthony, and then Anthony can convince everyone, like maybe. But at the same time, I feel like the damage has already been done, and the pretty boys will be like, yeah, no, she already hates us now because, you know, she's on the block. We're sending her home. So like, there's no way she's going to work with us. So I don't know if they would believe that she would work with them at all in the future. So, I'm going to give her a one because she isn't trying, and she's not putting in the work to save herself, which is really disappointing to me. If she was putting in the work to try, I would feel worse about giving her a one, and I would probably give her a two. So.
Yeah, Terrence, she went to the holder of the veto, Corey, and said, well, I know that, you know, it's probably not a good idea for your game to use the veto. And then
don't say that ever.
No, you do not say that.
Like, no.
Was Corey going to use the veto? Probably not. There was, but you try, make up something, put a target on somebody.
Anything.
But do what other people are doing, which is like, you know, hey, who is that person going to put up? We might need to worry about them and plant a seed over there. Like, you're doing nothing proactive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn, where are you on this?
I'm not at a one. I could not justify giving Chelsea a one. I don't think that she's on the same level as Mackie in terms of a player. Even this week, I think that she's capable of making rational arguments that are convincing. She's just really put in a spot where there's not a whole lot that she can do right now. I think there were things that she could have done, but I also think that she was very distracted by some other things going on in the house. You know, I've been giving her sixes, and I don't think that she's like dramatically dropped as a player. I think that circumstances really just kind of hit her in the wrong place. And now that she's facing adversity, she's kind of giving up. And that does, of course, impact how I see her as a player. But I mean, if I gave her a one, she'd be the first ever, I think, to average a one. And I don't think that's right for Chelsea. I think that there are worse players
here.
We gave
Rockstar a one.
Did she average a one? That's possible. Rockstar was one of the people I was
Rockstar
thinking about, to be fair.
One, and to be honest, I think Rockstar had a lot of good ideas in the game, but I think that week, the reason I rated her a one was because there was no chance she was going to stay. And I feel like that's my logic with Chelsea, is like, if there's no chance she's going to stay and she's not even trying to stay, then like, forget it.
Look, I think that she has very little chance to stay. Like I said, I think this is one of the more concrete things, but I think that, like the people that I want to reserve the one for are the people that I think not only have very little chance to stay, but also have very little chance to win the game, and also have very little chance to ever win the game because they're so bad. And I do feel like there's still some potential here for Chelsea, in different circumstances and in a different whole, you know, universe where Kira doesn't exist.
Well, that's the other thing. Can we talk about that real quick? Because this is on her, Chelsea, I'm talking about, mm-hmm. to recognize the fact that Kira is a complete leech and an emotional vampire on her game, and to cut bait. How can she not recognize it? Look, I get the fact that Kira is non-binary, the first non-binary house guest in the history of Big Brother Canada. I get it. All well and good. You can be totally supportive of them and still play the Big Brother game. I don't know why she cannot recognize, like, look, This is Chelsea talking. My emotional well-being within the game is being affected by this person. Maybe they mean well, but I cannot deal with it because she cannot. She cannot deal with it. Her any semblance of a game that she had has been completely snuffed out by Kira and her obsessing, to be honest. It's kind of creepy.
But, yes. Alexandra is letting me know Fessy and Rockstar both had a $1 week. So good to know. And I think it's pretty fair. But I guess in order to justify this, what I'll say is that if for some reason there was a twist that happened at the end of this week that saved, if the blood veto is released and Chelsea is saved, I think she's still very much in it with a chance to win. Whereas people like Rockstar and Fessy, I was like, is it even possible for them to win at all? And so that's why, you know, I would go much more toward a two here for Chelsea, just given how, you know, as much this seems like she is definitely going home. The audience is with me here with a two,
of course, for
Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. All right. So next up, let's talk about Kira, who had straight threes last week. By the way, Chelsea went from six to a two. So if you bought any shares of Chelsea, you just sorry about that one. Very nearly a one too. Kira though got straight threes last week. I wonder if that's going to happen again. Brent, how do you feel about Kira?
I'm going to continue to incrementally give Kira a better score than I previously gave them, and last week I gave them a three, and this week I'm going to give them a four. Now, look, it is true that going into this week, I own some Kira stock. I'll wait to reveal what I did with that. But I have to say that I am as repulsed as I am by their social behavior within the Big Brother house in regards to Chelsea, I am really taken with their cockroach-esque game in the Big Brother house, where they are going to refuse to be killed at this point. No one is going to come for Kira. And also, not for nothing, but Kira, behind Chelsea's back, has gone to people and confirmed, okay, what votes do I have? And who's voting for me? And something that Chelsea is currently not doing. Kira has at least enough smarts about themselves in order to do that. So that, combined with the fact that I do not see any way that the tables will be turned here and Kira will be voted out, combined with the fact that once Chelsea is gone, it's going to be the Adam and Sam show, and Kira's going to be like kind of this floating by themselves. Again, who's coming for her? I think Taryn had it right in the update that unless something really funky weird happens, like Nikki and Big Brother Canada 4, where, you know, the mechanisms of the game cause somebody to go home who shouldn't otherwise go home, I think that Kira is long for this game. I mean, you guys, seriously, like, there's parts of me that are happy that Kira is still there, and the parts of me that are really annoyed. I am hopeful that Kira will This is my last rant for the night. I'm hopeful that Kira will just be a better person in the Big Brother house once Chelsea is gone. And then show me more of what I saw preseason. Because preseason, Kira was great. Kira was fun and light and happy and wanted to play the game and get in there and get dirty and have fun and lie and cheat and steal. And ever since they've been in the house with Chelsea, it's just been constant, like, whining. Oh, no, I can't. Aaron does it so great on the update where he's just like imitating Kira. Like, why would you do that? And think about listening to this on end, like hours at a time. And Kira's even said to people, like, well, okay, once Chelsea's gone, I should do better. And I'm kind of like, well, if you recognize that now, why don't you do better now? But you're too hard up for Chelsea, and I get it. She's really freaking gorgeous. I get it. But nevertheless, do better. So I am going to give Kira a 4.
Yes, I'm with you in terms of the overall strategy. I think the longer Kira stays in the house, the higher the rating will be. Personally, I'm not quite ready to go up to a 4 yet, so I'm going to stay with a 3. If they survive the double eviction, maybe we'll reconvene on that one. But I did say this morning, and again, don't sleep on Kira's chances to win this whole thing, given how much the house does not see them as a threat. They are still on people's lists. They are still so bad at this game. I could see them blowing themselves up in some way that sends them home. I'm basically leaving myself some room to grow here. A couple weeks from now, we'll go up to a 4, then a 5. I don't know if I'll go above a 5, depending on, depending on how it looks. So that's why I'm sticking with a 3 for now, though I did consider going up. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what both you guys are saying. So I'm going to stick with the 3.
All right. The audience went down on Kira to a 2 from a 3 last week. Audience is a little biased sometimes.
I think. You're voting with your hearts, people. Come on. Like, I don't like Kira any more than you, and yet I can recognize that they're going to be in the game for a while. Come on.
All right, let's move on to Sam. Last week, Sam was at a 4. I said, you guys are high on Sam. I gave her a 3. I wonder if that will continue. Well, Brent, elaborate.
This is not good, folks. This is not good. I'm giving Sam a 2. I wish I could use my 1 card, because that's really how I feel about her. Look, the thing is, I don't know where Sam goes. Everybody and their mother, including my mother, is coming for Sam. And they're going to put Adam on the block with her in the double eviction if they get HOH. If Sam gets HOH, she is not putting up the people that she probably needs to put up in order to restructure the house in a way that it affects the dynamics and puts her in a better position than what she currently is. It will just be a stay of execution if she wins HOH or if Adam wins HOH. They probably need a couple HOHs back to back. If they're like, here's the thing. If they're not going to target the boys, they need at least 2 HOHs back to back to really change the trajectory of the way things are going and just, you know, alter the status quo. That's a tall order to happen. It's happened, but it's a tall order. So I'm giving her a 2. And it's not a high 2 either.
All right, Melissa, what about you?
I don't feel as bad about her chances because I do think she's good in competitions. And I do think that Adam would do what it takes to keep her protected for now. And I think she could find some way to like slip in there and be okay. So I'm going to just stick with my 4. Because I don't feel so poorly about her yet.
Well, like to me, the thing is that she's on everybody's lips. She's on everybody's lips.
She is, but she was last week too. And I felt like, but I feel like she's thinking in the right way now. And I feel like now at least she
is. She
knows,
though?
I think she is.
She would put up freaking Kiki and freaking Eddie if she wins HOH.
I don't know. Maybe those are just things that she's saying. I feel like I have faith in her that she'll.
I want to
in the right way. So I'm just going to stick with my 4. I don't feel like amazing. So I'm not going to like go up or anything, but I just feel like I want to wait right now.
All right. Personally, I think that just like last week when I felt like Sam was the most likely to go this week, honestly, I feel even a little bit more strong about that idea. I think Sam is by far the most likely person to leave in the double eviction. I think that we might not even see her after Thursday night. So I'm not going to go all the way down to a two because I do think there are a couple of people playing in that this double eviction that might not target her. And she, of course, also has the chance to win Power of Veto. And I do think that, you know, I feel like every week that she manages to survive, every eviction cycle that she manages to survive is another week that things might blow up in the house, and at that point she'll be fine. Because once the pretty boys blow up, Sam is off the radar. And yes. So, if she can survive the double eviction, if she can survive the next week's, you know, if she can survive long enough, there's a chance that she survives until something blows up. And I do think that she is, you know, competition capable enough and strategically savvy enough to
The reason I gave her a two rather than a one is because Mark is there, and Mark is, you know, privately agreeing with Adam, like, hey, we want to be getting rid of her right away. But yeah, he won't say that publicly. Like, he's like, he doesn't want to publicly disagree with Anthony and Dane. So, you know, I don't put much stock in it, but I put a little bit.
Yes.
So, I think also it's wishful thinking on my part, maybe, because she's one of my favorites in the house right now. So I'm also like maybe just hopeful that things will turn around for her. But who knows?
Here's the thing, really quickly before we move on. Matt LaGorie tweeted out a list of everybody's likely nominations if they win HOH during the double. And of course, like, I knew like basically what everybody was going to do, but I had never actually like looked at it before. And when I looked at it, it's like there's, you know, like 11 people who can win HOH. 8 of them are nominating Adam and Sam, most likely. And I'm like, wow. Yeah,
not great.
Not good, Bob.
Not good. The audience stuck with a four for Sam. So audience with Melissa on this one. But yes, Alexander is correct. I did go with a three once again for Sam. So I think that's going to drop her down to a three from a four last week here. So let's move on to Adam. Adam last week still, I was the highest person on Adam. I don't know if that will remain the case, but I'll go first and see how this goes. Adam, like I said, with many of these pretty boys, I'm bumping him up just a bit. I think that he is, pretty safe in this double eviction. Even if he goes on the block, it's going to be really hard to see how he goes home. I could see maybe a scenario where somebody like, I don't know, Eddie or Damien wins and puts Sam and Adam, and then Sam wins the veto. And then who goes up as the pawn next to Adam? Maybe it's somebody that might have a hard time getting the votes for, but probably not. And so it's really hard to see Adam going home. And once Sam is gone, I think the pretty boys will be a lot more comfortable with him. I think that he will be in a better position with them. I think that all of what's been happening is good for him once Sam is gone, where the pretty boys will not look at him as much of a threat. And I think that they will all start to look at him as somebody that maybe they can take to the final two, because a lot of people talk about how they don't respect him in the game. And with Adam actually kind of, as we talked about at the top of the show, being somebody that is maybe rootable and maybe actually sympathetic to some degree, where he's crying with Chelsea and being empathetic with some of these other people, like, I actually could maybe see him win a jury vote. So I'm pretty high on what Adam's doing. Part of the pretty boys, I gave him a six. Melissa, what about you?
I'm worried about Adam, actually, because I feel like he's losing influence in the house and losing any sort of influence over the pretty boys. And I feel like he might be the first to go of the pretty boys if there is some sort of issue, because they feel like, first of all, he's compromised, and second of all, that maybe he can't be trusted, or, you know, that the other three are stronger or whatever. And I just feel like I don't feel like he's in the best position in the pretty boys. I feel like he's honestly in the worst position of the pretty boys, especially because he's tied to Sam. He was tied to Chelsea. He was tied to Kira. He's tied to these people who are now, you know, being picked off. And I just don't see a situation where that works out well for him. So I'm just going to stick with my four that I had.
All right, Brent, how about you?
Well, ironically, I'm going to go up because I gave Adam a three last week, but it's not by much. I'm going to give them a four, Adam a four as well. Here's the thing. I think that, well, I agree with Melissa that Adam is obviously the only pretty boy that I think could conceivably could go during the double eviction. Also, I worry about a few ramifications, like depending on who wins the veto and how it's used, that he could also go home. Also, he's left out of the loop on some of the things, like they openly talk behind Adam's back in the Pretty Boys, but they also, on the other hand, do protect him. They're like, well, we have to save Adam from himself, basically. Like, I think there's a part of them that actually believes some of the crazy things they think about Sam, like that, you know, she's the poison or whatever, that, you know, she's coming for Adam eventually. Like, that's not true, but somehow I think they've convinced themselves, the Pretty Boys, that they, you know, that they actually believe that. So I'm going to give him a 4. It's a grudging 4. Like, I want to give him a higher score because I do like his social game, and I think he's evolving to a point where he could win maybe a vote or a twist. You know, I know people don't like showmances, but if Sam goes, I do think that Adam will be eminently rootable in the house. So I'm going to give him a 4 for now, which is the higher score than I gave him last week.
All right. Well, just to defend a little more then, I do think that once Sam leaves, Adam will have lost Chelsea. He'll have lost Sam. There are other people in the house that kind of want to work with Adam, including Esty and Kiki. Once those other people are gone, it also includes people like Damien and Corey to some extent. I think that Adam's social game will improve once Sam is gone. I think that he can integrate with other people. I think he'll be a sleeper in that regard. People will start to underestimate him. And I do see him rising above this after the you know, Sam is gone, but that is predictive, and you know, he's not in that spot right now, but that's sort of how I see it going from here. So that's why I personally went with a 6. But go ahead
really quickly. Is there this is my fear, so-and-so wins the block, or wins the block, wins AQH, they nominate Adam and Sam for eviction, Sam wins the veto, Kira goes up as a nominee in replacement. They're really going to vote Kira out? I find that hard to believe.
I think that obviously the Pretty Boys would. So that's 3 votes. I think that Anthony could get Corey on board. I think that Dane could get Esty and Kiki on board, and that would be enough. So I think, ooh, obviously it is a dangerous position, and I could see it going the other way theoretically, but I do feel like the votes are probably there.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the audience did agree with you guys, although they were close to going up to a 5, they did stick with their 4 for Adam. So I remain the highest on Adam. We'll see how that goes for me. Let's move on to Anthony. Let's talk about Anthony. I might be the highest on Anthony as well here. I talked about how I was thinking about giving Dane an 8. Because I gave him a 7. I almost gave him an 8. Anthony is my 8. Look, we were talking about how Anthony was playing a great game. He was running the house. He was in the best position. And then we were like, uh-oh, but Kira and Chelsea are kind of onto him a little bit. We got to watch out for that. That is not even remotely an issue anymore. And Anthony is also not winning competitions, not putting a target on his back. So, man, I really like where he is. A lot of people talk about him. Esty and Kiki, they like him so much. Corey likes him so much. Even Damien likes Anthony. And, you know, even people like Kira now are like, you know, I want to trust Anthony. I like him so much. I'm just not entirely sure. It's hard to see him going out anytime soon. I think that the only person he might go home against on the block is maybe Dane. And even then, I think it might be kind of close. So I really like where he's positioned. And I think the thing that put the nail in the coffin for me is that I was worrying for him about what does his end game look like. You know, Dane's been talking about, oh, can't take Anthony to the end, but with Dane confirming to the cameras that he does still plan on sticking to his deal with Anthony, that makes me feel a little bit more confident that Anthony does have some methods to get to the end. So I like where Anthony is. I could see Dane overtake him. I could see all sorts of things happening, but for right now, for me, it's an 8. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel similarly to what you're saying. I just don't know if I feel so confident with him that I want to give him an 8, but I definitely want to increase my score. So I'm going to give him a 7.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking about an 8 as well, but I just think his ego's too big. I think he's going to make mistakes. And to be fair, I'm not, you know, gazing into my crystal ball. I feel like we have seen evidence of the fact that he's a little cocky and he can easily misled, and he can be easily manipulated by people. Mark realizes that he can be easily manipulated. So, I do not believe that he deserves an 8. I think a 7 is fine, and we will see what happens here.
Yes, Anthony joining the elite group of Casey, Tyler, and Bailey in my people I've given eights to. So could be any one of those.
He could end up in any one million ways.
Man, remember when Bailey went from a 7 to a 2 in 1 week?
Yikes.
All the power in the world.
Yeah. All right. The audience.
I still remember where, before you say that, I still remember where I was in my house when I scrolled onto Twitter and saw what was happening. And then, of course, I immediately turned on my feeds. I'm like, oh my God, like that. What? She did what? Okay.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Oh my God. Okay.
Well, the audience does not like Anthony very much. The audience gave Anthony a 5, way down.
Haters.
They went down from last week.
Y'all haters.
The audience is really brutal.
I am not big on this season.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Mark. Brent, how do you feel about Mark's game?
Okay, this is somebody who, like I said, I'm higher on Mark. I'm finally like, Melissa said this about some people, like I think 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was last week on the podcast with Rob, where she was like, I'm finally getting into the season. I feel like I'm probably finally connecting with these people. I haven't connected with Mark before now, but I feel like I understand where Mark's game is at. I feel like I understand where he's coming from. I like seeing what's going on behind his eyes and like seeing his mind work. And I feel overall really, really good. He is like the typical, like, Ethan Zahn assistant coach role in Survivor, where you have like the big figurehead out front. And in this case, he's got like 3 figureheads, and Anthony, who is, you know, the big manipulator behind the scenes, the mover and shaker who likes to think he's the Mr. Big Shot. And then you have, you know, Dane and Adam who are out there winning comps. Who the hell is looking at Mark? On the other hand, his social bonds are not great, but in his own weird sort of quirky way, he has been able to bond with people where no one has his name on their lips. I don't know anybody who's thinking about nominating Mark in the double or even thinking about nominating Mark anytime soon. So I have to say that I was wrong about him. I'm curious to see what happens from here. But I do feel like he is a smart guy who understands his place currently in the game and understands what he needs to do to further himself in the game. I also really, really liked, as you can tell from my comment earlier, that he realizes that getting Sam out of the house is a phenomenally boner move. Like, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And he told Adam to his face, I agree with you, but he also covered his ass and saying, look, if you bring this up, I'm going to deny it. I just want you to know that. Not only saving himself in front of those guys, mm-hmm. but also saving himself in front of Adam so that Adam, if he, you know, decides to bring it up, doesn't feel totally betrayed. Like, he knows what's going to happen if he brings it up. Mark's going to deny it. So for all those reasons, I feel really, really awesome about Mark's game. And I gave him a 3 last week. I don't think I've ever had anybody like double their score, but that's what's happening here. So I'm going to give him a 6.
There you go. Melissa, how do you feel about Mark?
No, I mean, I feel like Brent just said exactly what I would have said. The fact that like it's, I thought that there, I wasn't really sure if there was anything really going on up here. If you just like happened to be brought into this alliance and he just lucked into it and was kind of just like, oh, okay. And like following along with the plan. But the fact that he's doing that as part of a strategy to do that because he knows that he needs to agree with Anthony or he knows that he needs to say this thing to Dane or whatever. And the fact that we're seeing that is super promising. And like Brent said, the way that he spoke to Adam about that, I mean, that is the best way to do it, which is to say, look, I'm going to deny it, but I wanted to let you know that I'm on your side, because then he's on their side and he's on your side. And both people think, oh, he's on our side. So he's really doing a good job with that. So, yeah, I'm going to do the same and I'm going to give him a 6.
There you go. I was torn between a 5 and a 6. Like most of the pretty boys, I'm bumping them up just a little bit. And there were a lot of things that I liked about Mark this week. And honestly, if I'd done this yesterday, I probably would have gone easily with a 6. But there were then things to, maybe even the day before. But then like last night, he was doing some things like pissing Kiki off again, pissing Chelsea off, pissing all kinds of women off. He just can't help himself sometimes, and I think that's really bad for him. Then there is this sort of hinting, whispering about maybe he would actually go after Dane. Like I said, I don't think this is going to happen, but if it did, it would be Cindy levels of terrible. Like, if this is actually actually his plan to target Dane in the double eviction? I have no words for how idiotic that is for his game. He has nowhere else to turn. And if he doesn't do that, I think he's in a great spot. I think that the other members of the Pretty Boys underestimate him in terms of how well he could do in a final two, despite the fact that he doesn't have great social bonds. I think that he has that sort of nerdy underdog sort of the thing to him that will help, especially against these really big, cocky guys. And so I like that aspect of it. And there's also his study rap. He seems to really have his information down. There's a chance that he's going to be really, really good at these question comps. And if that's true, then he's going to really be doing well toward the end of the game, exactly when he needs to turn it on. And so if that's the case, then I want to be very high in his game. But I haven't seen any evidence of that yet in competition, and there's still so much that's going on with him in the game that I'm worried about. And honestly, it might even though I don't think this is going to happen, there's just that small chance that he's serious about targeting Dane, and maybe that alone is what tips me down to a five. But I think I'm going to be conservative and go with a five for Mark. He's definitely has a lot of room to grow here, and I think he's got a lot of potential. But for now, I'm still a little bit concerned. He's still off and on for me.
By the way, about Mark, here's the thing. I think there are a few people in Big Brother history, and they're typically guys who are like this, where he is a douche and he is somebody who annoys people and he can be condescending and kind of a little fuck sometimes, but he's authentic and he's a douche, but he's our douche. And I feel like that I've brought this up a couple times in Big Brother, and it's usually come true. I said this about Josh, like he's a knucklehead, but he's our knucklehead, where people like they get into fights with him, or, and of course nobody's going to a fight with Mark except for like Kiki a little bit, but they appreciate his authenticity even if he isn't socially even like a grade A student. He's kind of not great socially, but he is authentic, and I do think that that gains him some credibility within this, you know, ever-changing social game.
Yes. All right. Well, the audience was with me on this one. The audience gave him a five. However, I do believe that will keep him at a six, which means he goes from three to six. So if you invested in Mark shares, you just made a killing.
I've been thinking, I'm looking at it last week because they gave him a three last week. I'm like, I want to go back and listen to what the hell I said on the podcast last week. I guess it was the fact that he was so weird and his social game was terrible and he acted like a dick to people. Like, I'm trying to like, what was I? God, a three was really low. But on the other hand, other people agreed with me. Melissa agreed with me.
I was higher on Mark. I thought Mark was, I thought he was underpriced. I don't know if that gives you any hints. So next up, let's talk about
looking at Malagory in the chat. He's like, guess who has two thumbs and 16 Mark stocks?
There you go. Yeah. Let's talk about Kiki. Kiki is up next here. Kiki's an interesting one. Melissa, what do you think about Kiki?
I feel like I'm very frustrated with her because I had such high expectations for her. And I feel like there are moments where I feel good about her, where she gives where she basically says like, what if the guys are working together, and like basically like lays it all out for everyone. And then is like, oh no, nah, like let's not do anything with this information, which is just like, it's so frustrating to see somebody have this sort of knowledge and then just like drop it on the ground and not even care about it. So it's very depressing. And I just feel, I mean, she's not on the block this week. She's not going home. Well, who knows about the double, but she's not going home right now. So, you know, I can't rate her too low, but I'm just going to stick with my four.
All right, Brent, what do you think?
I'm just going to do it. I'm going to give her a two. I don't like her. I don't like the way she's playing the game. I think she's got the information that she needs, and she's completely incapable of doing anything with it. She apparently knows what's going on, and she's decided she's going to lean into the curve, ladies and gentlemen. She's going to play the game that other people have decided this is the way the game is going to be played. And she's like, okay, that sounds good to me. Let's just do that. Like, I'll be the Britney, and I can like somehow magically wait for all of the women to be totally picked off. And then suddenly at the end, the guys will go after each other, because that's totally what happened with the brigade, that Enzo went after Hayden at the end. No, he never did that. So what the hell are you thinking? I don't understand how somebody who can be like so feisty, and she is feisty. She's lovely. She's great. I want to root for her, but she's completely an airhead when it comes to Big Brother and how to work this game. That is not a hope and a prayer is not a strategy in Big Brother, Taryn. So it's a two.
There you go. I'm not quite that low. I don't have a lot of faith in her game-wise, but I do... Of all the people who aren't in the Pretty Boys, I do think the Youngbloods are one of the more well-positioned people. Dane did, in his talks to the cameras, talk about, like, hey, if the Pretty Boys thing doesn't work out, I'm kind of okay going to the end with Esty and Kiki. If Kiki even makes it half that far, I think that she's probably in a better spot than, like, half the cast. But like I said, I don't have a lot of faith in her at the moment. I'm going to stick with my four, personally. I do think that Esty probably has a better chance at not only winning the game, but staying a little longer because of her connection to Dane, and just her overall social game is better. Kiki just has such a hard time giving people what they want if she doesn't like them. Mark is definitely one of those people, but even you know, without Mark, she just doesn't like talking to other people as much. She just wants to hang out with Esty all day, and it's like she's very introverted in many ways. Where like she likes like well, when I'm with Dane and Esty, it's like I'm not with anyone, but when I'm with other people, it exhausts me. It's so hard. And that's just, it's not the greatest quality to have in the Big Brother house. But I'm going to stick with my four for now. And we'll see how that goes. The audience agrees with Melissa and myself. They gave her a four. All right. Let's move on to Esty. Last week, Esty had an average of five. Melissa and myself gave her a six. Brent went with a four and the audience a five. So kind of all over the place. I'm interested to see how this one will go. Brent, how did you feel about Esty this week?
Well, if I'm giving Kiki a two, I feel like I can only stick with a four, which is what I gave her last week. So I'm going to give her another four because I haven't seen anything that's improved in her game. I mean, it's true that she's more than likely to stay. But on the other hand, I know quite a few people who are thinking about nominating Kiki and Eddie for eviction, and if Kiki wins the veto, I have to believe that Esty's probably going to go up on the block. She probably stays in that instance. On the other hand, Andy's not really doing anything, so I don't know why they would really vote him out, and he doesn't have any social bonds. So, I mean, like, it works for and against him, but I'll talk about that when I get to Eddie. She also is seemingly fine with the status quo and not doing anything about it, and it's constantly working against what I perceive to be her best strategy within the game. And she's like, it's like she sees the road in front of her that she should take, and she's like, ah, whoop, I'm gonna go over here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody that does that who wins Big Brother. You are correct in that by virtue of her sort of relationship that she has with Dane, that she is going to be more protected, and hopefully by then the dynamics of the house changes, which is why I'm giving her a, you know, average score of four. Especially with this house, a four is definitely an average, but it's not going to be higher than that for me.
Yeah, I last week I gave her a six, and it was looking like that prediction might be working out well toward the later half of last week when Sam and Chelsea seemed to be onto the Pretty Boys, and it was starting to look like this might be a big war between the Sam Chelsea group and the Pretty Boys, and that would have been fantastic for Esty and Kiki, but that just got resolved real quick, and so they haven't really benefited from it. The Chelsea side has already sort of been decimated, especially if Sam leaves in this double eviction. All of a sudden, it's looking like who are the biggest threats in the game? It's these two. So I am worried about them in that regard, and so I am going to go down on down for Esty here slightly. Like I said, I think that both Esty and Kiki might be going down in the future based on how things start to play out, but I'm going to give Esty a five this week. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I like her game better than Kiki, but I don't like her game, so I'm going to give her a five when I give her a six last week.
There you go. The audience agrees as well, sticking with their five for Esty, so she's going to stay.
By the way, go ahead. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but Umberto is in the chat saying Casey won by going with the flow, Brent, but I kind of reject that comparison. There's no comparison here because Casey had so much more agency within the Big Brother 20 game than Kiki ever has, or and Esty for that matter, have right now. So which I'm not sure which one you're talking about, Umberto, but I don't buy it for either one of them, and the Casey comparison is totally bogus.
Well, I actually think the Casey comparison is halfway decent. I think that Casey had a better social game, and that's what really separates the two, but they both kind of rely on the better players making a mistake that lets them win, right? So in order for Kiki or Esty to win, that's the Pretty Boys have to screw up their own games.
But I also feel like Casey was way more protected in an alliance. Like, she was actually in an alliance.
Yeah, well, that, like I said, I think that KC had a better social game, and just the nature of level six, I think, was more insulated because they were the real alliance. But in terms of what they're actually doing in the game, I don't think there's a ton of difference.
But I do feel like KC had the ability to do that because she was in the majority alliance, whereas like SC like and Kiki are like taking that strategy, but they're not doing it properly because they're not even in the majority alliance, so they're not protected at all. Like, so they should be scrambling. Feel like
I agree. I think my argument would be I think that KC does the same thing whether she's in level six or whether she's in the Youngbloods. And you know what I mean.
Well, but I don't think she would have won.
Right, I agree.
So yeah, I mean they are doing a similar strategy, but like I think the reasoning was like, yeah, but you know they could win because KC did the same strategy, and like I feel like. Well, yeah, KC did the same strategy, but like that doesn't always work.
Different circumstances,
specific circumstance, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
By the way, did y'all hear that? I heard Melissa go. So, it was like such the little kid, like so, like I'm right. Like,
so,
you hear me?
So.
You get me?
Got me.
Yeah. Right. You feel?
Let's talk about Eddie. Eddie, man, last week I gave Eddie a 5. Oh, those were the days. This week I'm not high on Eddie. I don't like what he's doing. He's really just, last week it was looking like maybe it was just an off week for Eddie. Maybe he could be doing something. We talked about this morning. Eddie needed to do a lot of work to maintain his position and then advance his position if he wanted to start getting into a good spot in the house. He hasn't been doing that. Everything's been deteriorating. He's barely been talking to people. He's kind of started to a little bit in the last couple of days, but for the most part, he's just completely on the outs. He has no real connections. He barely hangs out with people when everyone hangs out in a group, and he is a big target. I could see him easily going in the double eviction as just kind of like a whoops, sorry, Eddie. So, I'm going down from a 5 to a 3, and it sucks. But Brent, I think you probably have a lot to say here.
I'm giving him a 1. Ooh. Okay, I didn't make this paddle for one flippant person. I'm giving him a 1, and you want to know why? Because we have somebody who comes into this game who says what we want to hear. We're like, oh, like, I love the fact that he's making fun of Adam behind his back. He's calling him, oh, he's actually pretty ugly. Okay, you're getting us hyped up, but you're like, Johnny, you're going to give us some tea and you're going to play the game. You have no game. You're not even playing the game. You're just existing within the house. You are truly terrible at this game. It is boggling to me that I was thinking that you might possibly approach Johnny's level, and that's on me. I made the wrong call. I was the idiot. I bought it hook, line, and sinker, but I don't know what the hell you're doing. As Taryn notes, you could easily go home on Thursday night. In fact, I think you're actually likely to. I think there are a bunch of people who really don't give a shit about you in the Big Brother game. So how can I give you any, like, here's the thing. Eddie doesn't have any agency, Melissa, within the Big Brother game. So how can I give him any merit in the stock market? You know what I mean? And maybe I'm feeling a little funky right now because I'm really just annoyed at him. I don't like, I just want to shake him and go like, dude, what's your plan, man? Like what is this? Cause this is not it's not a plan. Hope is not a plan. But it's even worse for him because he's not even hoping at this point. It's like, he doesn't care. He doesn't even like faking being nice to people or bonding with them.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with both you guys, but I feel like I don't feel comfortable going all the way down to a 1 because I just feel like there is still a chance. I don't feel like he's totally out of it yet. So, but I don't feel as good as I did last week. So I'm going to give him a 3.
All right. The audience went down from a 5 to a 4 for Eddie. Yes.
I want him to go down further.
Brent really trying to tank the Eddie stock.
There's no reason why. I'm just annoyed with him right now. What the hell is this guy doing? Taryn,
I hear you.
With Eddie, I mean, like, aren't you annoyed with him? Like he could do some things within the Big Brother house. He has information. If people came to him with other information, I think he could maybe do something with that. But watching him over the past 72 hours, it's like he's lost interest.
Yeah, it's rough. I kind of feel for him. I am also annoyed by him. I wish that.
Why do you feel for him?
I mean, you know, because he's having a hard time, right? Like, we kind of anticipated that he might have a hard time, and like, I do think there is a language barrier that's part of the issue, and it's hard for him to just hang out with everyone, and so he, you know, unfortunately, he's not trying as hard, and that's where I'm annoyed. But I can also see where he's coming from in the sense that he's probably kind of frustrated and. You know, all of his friends are going home, and I can be annoyed and also, you know, feel bad for him.
Right. Okay. So let me tell you, like, honestly, what Eddie reminds me of when I was in fifth grade, there were a couple of bullies who like always gave me hell in my class. And so I would purposely, when we have recess, I would go to the librarian and like, I would be the librarian assistant and I would put the books back in the shelves because I didn't want to go outside and socialize with all the people out there because I was afraid of them. That's what it feels like with Eddie. He's like in that stupid room back there looking at those files. It's like he would rather that's his friends.
Yeah.
Not the people who are in the house. Unfortunately, the files can't vote.
Mm-hmm. I will say he still gives me some fun moments. Just today, Adam was like looking at his like sunburn and his like tan lines, and Eddie was like pretending that he was super. Oh, Adam, lift your shirt again, and just like the way that he's able to goad Adam into thinking that he's being really hot in front of Eddie, and that he's like making Eddie all hot and bothered, but really we know what's happening behind the scenes with Eddie. It's just, it makes that whole scene more enjoyable to me. But yeah, the game wise, it's just it's not there. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think I would laugh more at it if there was any semblance of a game. But the fact like that, like the whole like him making fun of Adam behind his back is a little played out for me right now.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about Corey. Last week had an average of 5. I gave her a 5. Brent at a 4. Melissa a 5. The audience a 6 for Corey. Remains, I think, one of the people like Corey. People want to see Corey do well. But personally, I feel like this week is just further elaborated and exaggerated and just piled on to the fact that Corey is just an Anthony puppet, and maybe that will change someday, but for right now, she's even mimicking his strategies, the way that he talks, the way that he operates, like every word she says is basically straight from Anthony at this point. And not only that, but she won a veto that I didn't think she needed to win, and it's kind of put a bigger target on her back. I don't like that. I could see her potentially leaving in a double or soon, although I do think Anthony will help protect her a little bit. And so for that reason, I went down from a 5 to a 4, not quite a 3, but a 4 here for Corey. You know, there's still just, there's room. There's still a possibility here for Corey, but it's not happening right now. And I don't know if it'll happen soon. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, same reasons for me. I'm going to give her 4 as well.
I gave her a 4 last week. You know what? I don't feel good about her game. I'm going to give her a 3. And again, like if she can break out of the Anthony puppet malure, then maybe she can do something. But I think it would take a monumental event for her to start distrusting Anthony. And I don't see that monumental event happening. So she's probably going to continue to be under his spell, and that ain't going to help her any. So it's a 3.
Yeah. The audience did go down from a 6 to a 5, though still higher on Corey than us. Again, you know, either we're just wrong and the audience is right, or maybe there's just a little bit of popularity influencing the numbers here. So finally, let's talk about Damien. We'll see if there's any popularity influence on Damien as well. Damien, last week, I gave him a 5. Melissa gave him a 5. The audience gave him a 5. Brent was down at a 4. So Brent, let's start with you. How do you feel about Damien this week?
I don't feel like there's any real change. I will say this, that it's amazing to me that somebody who is as good looking and as athletic as he is has apparently no target on his back. That tells me that his social game is A+. People like him. They are not threatened by him. He's not making any mistakes. So that's good. On the other hand, again, he has very little control of the Big Brother game, a tiny bit, but not a lot, not enough for me to change my rating of him. So it's a 4.
Melissa.
Yeah, mine's exactly the same as it was last week. I'm going to give him a 5. It just feels like nothing's happened with him. So
tell us something positive about Damien, because I kind of honestly think of one. I mean, like he didn't make any mistakes, but on the other hand, I don't feel like anybody's including them in any long-term plans, Taryn.
Here's something positive about Damien. Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Yesterday he talked to the cameras about how hey, if you're just another, you know, First Nations kid on the res, that was me. And look, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, that's what I'm here for. And he talked about missing his girlfriend and how much he loves her. And, he seems like a nice, cool, chill guy. You know, game wise though, it sucks.
I mean, we'll have to see. He could turn it on if he I just feel like it needs a house shakeup in order for him to do something. If he just stays the same and then gets booted out the door, I'm not going to be satisfied.
Yes. And just to confirm to Alexandra, Corey had a 5 from the audience. But yeah, for Damien, I think he has some natural skills at the game. I think that he is very believable when he lies. I think that he has a mind for keeping himself safe. I just feel like there's, he knows about the show. His girlfriend was a fan, but I don't think he knows enough. I don't think he has the knowledge base of a real fan of the show that knows how the game really works, the ins and outs. And I think that's holding him back. And I think that his prospects have fallen. The fact that, Chelsea has been neutralized so quickly. Damien's starting to look like somebody that is one of the bigger threats to the guys. And that's not great for him. So I did drop down from a 5 to a 4 myself. The audience, though, the audience has gone up on Damien. Last week they were a 5. This week Damien has a 6.
Of course they are.
Audience loves Damien.
You're voting with your loins, people.
So there you go. There you go for Damien. I think that's going to end him up at a 5. Yes, a 5 overall. So he is not going to change. All right. So there you go. That was the ratings here. We had a lot of shifting. Dane went from a 5 to a 7. Chelsea went from a 6 down to a 2. Then a lot of people staying the same. Anthony went up a little bit. Mark boosted up from a 3 to a 6. And then, for the most part, we got some slight people slightly falling. Eddie's falling. Corey's falling. Damien's managing to hold on, but, I don't know how long that will last. So, we got a shifting house. It's really, I think for me, you probably see this in the ratings, and it's kind of showing in the averages as well. It's really just the pretty boys are really starting to separate themselves from the pack. As the further we go, the people in the middle are falling behind. The pretty boys are racing ahead, and, we'll have to see if that continues moving forward. So let's talk about what happened. Who bought what in the stock watch? All right. So last week we had the prices. We made decisions on Thursday for who to buy, who to sell, what to do. And now that the prices have been updated, we're going to check in and see how those decisions have gone. We're going to start with Melissa this week. Melissa, what did you do with your purchasing and selling decisions?
Well, I made a good decision and a bad decision. So, but I think my good decision outweighs my bad decision.
Yeah, tell us the good one first.
The good decision is that I decided to buy 3 marks.
Yeah.
So he went up in the stock, which was great. My bad decision was to buy 2 Sams.
Ooh.
I had faith. Hey, and you know what? Things would have been completely different at H1HOH. So, you know, it was just a buzzer away of me making 2 good decisions.
Yes, so Melissa bought 2 shares of Sam at $8, the price, or at $4 each, and the price went down to $3. So Melissa lost a couple of dollars on that sale, but made $9 on the Mark purchase. So
yeah, and I made money on my Anthony purchase too, because he went up. I don't remember.
Yes, Anthony went up, so Melissa made a couple of dollars on Anthony as well.
Yeah.
All right, Brent, what did you decide to do?
I'm hoping we didn't repeat again this week, Taryn.
I think we might have.
We might have? All right. Well, I decided to keep all of my Kira stock. I did not feel that Kira was in danger of going home or anything. Obviously, possibility coming up this coming week, but I didn't feel like that was going to happen last week. And I did use... So I had $20 to spend, and I used 18 of those to buy 6 Mark shares at $3. Basically, here's the thing. At the time that I bought this, I was not really feeling Mark more long term. I actually am now, so I feel better about the deal in hindsight. But I'm looking, like, you can't go above 10 on this thing. So it requires you to sort of look at the people who are genuinely undervalued by virtue of the rules that we've set up, mm-hmm. and stay away from people who on a good day are, you know, getting a good score, but conceivably could go down. Like if somebody's in like the 6-7 territory, I'm probably not going to take a look at them unless it, you know, the numbers are such that it requires me to do so. So I bought 6 Mark stocks, and given that I locked in my Kira stuff, I made, what did I make?
You made $18 on your Mark purchase, and you still have $10 made from last week's Kira.
So I am plus 28.
Yes. Nikki in the chat says, Taryn's face says they didn't do the same thing.
Oh,
Nikki reads me well here, because I decided to go all in on Mark. I sold all of my Kira to lock in that $10 that I made. Ooh. And then I bought 16 shares of Mark, which netted me $48 this week, for a total of $58 made. So
that's what you were thinking when Matt did that.
Yeah,
then you were like, okay, cool. See, I thought I considered doing that, but I was like, I really honestly felt like Kira could go up to a 4 or maybe a 5, depending on. But then, you know, they went off the reservation this week, so you know. Take your chances with old Kira.
Yes. All right. Well, Christina has been keeping track of the Reddit and the patron group stock watches as well. This week, many people decided to buy a lot of Mark shares. Apparently, 408. He got almost 50% of all people bought shares of Mark this week. So a lot of people were kind of on the same wavelength in terms of him being a little bit undervalued. Interesting stuff. It's really fun to look at all the stats from everyone else. Eddie had a lot of shares invested in him and he went down. So people who bought into Eddie, not going to be super happy about that. Lots of fun stuff. Christina Z doing a great job keeping track. And of course, Alexandra, who has all of the lovely visuals that you see and keeps track of everything for us, doing a wonderful job. I want everyone to thank Alexandra for us because she is excellent at what she does. All right. Just a few more bonus questions here before we start to wrap up. I wanted to know in this form, rank your favorite rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Last week we had Esty and Damien neck and neck for the top spot with Chelsea and Eddie shortly behind them. What do you guys think happened this week? Melissa, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I just feel like everyone, at least for me, at least everybody is fluctuating week to week. And so the people that I really like one week are the people that I hate the next week. And the people that I hate, I end up liking. And I feel like Damien is always going to be up top. Like, I feel like we can all say that Damien is like number one.
Damien is number one with a much bigger lead this time.
Yep. And I think that Kiki and Esty will be lower in the rankings. At least that's what I would give them. And Chelsea for sure low. But who would be high?
Well,
I don't know.
I can tell you Esty remains in second place.
Whoa.
This week.
Would not have suspected that.
Yeah.
Did Mark go way up or people still down on Mark?
Mark was fourth to last time and same this time.
Okay.
So has not gone up.
I don't think they've discovered
what we
like about Mark. Yeah.
It's Corey and Sam have shot up in the ranking. Sam in particular, Corey went from sixth place to third place, and Sam went from, I believe, ninth place to fourth place. So
it makes sense to me because I like Sam way more this week than I did a couple weeks ago. So like I would have ranked her like near the top at this week for sure. Well,
like Sam is my like fly by night, you know, Hail Mary girl at this point. Who I'm like, oh my God, if she could actually, you know, make a run here, that'd be so freaking great. But I'm like, how's that going to happen? Like, it's going to take a real miracle. Like I said, two HOHs minimum.
Yeah. And like I said, this is like during Big Brother 20, this was like the same poll every week. This season, it's people going all over the place.
That's how I feel.
Yes, we saw Chelsea drop from number 3 down to number 5. So she's still holding in there. We saw Eddie drop from number 4 down to number 6.
Should have been lower.
Kira,
am I wrong?
Kira was in last place last week with an average score of 2.8, and the next highest was 4.01. So already deeply in last place. This week, an average of 2.19. The next person is 4.92. So even more significantly in last place, even though the score isn't all that different. Another person that fell pretty dramatically this week was Anthony went from looks about 7th place down to 2nd to last, right above Kira. People not enjoying Anthony's castles. And then that's pretty much the movement here. Adam, I expected might go up a little bit, but not the case. He remains 3rd to last in both last week and this week. And Dane is still hovering around the back middle. And Kiki has gone down a bit. Kiki went down from about 5th place to looks like 7th. So some people falling, some people rising. In particular, Corey and Sam seem to be the people that are shoving a lot of the others down a couple of places. So there you go. Interesting stuff.
Oh, I wanted to talk about something real quick before we go. So there was a question on a lot of social media because Kira was talking about the fact that they basically identify with the lesbian community when they are outside the Big Brother house. And a lot of people had an honest question, which is like, if you identify as non-binary, how can you identify as a lesbian? And I tweeted out a great video. I had the same question as well, because, you know, I don't have many non-binary friends myself. I would like to, but, you know, there are not a ton of them, at least right now in the world, that are open and have the ability to be open. And so I tweeted out a great video. It's on my Twitter timeline. You can follow me at @OneLuckyGay. It really goes, it's only like 2.5 minutes long, but it really does explain what my questions were, in that basically they're non-binary persons are using the word lesbian because they don't have another word to use. It's just, non-binary is what they call their gender identity, but the, you know, lesbian is just more about the physicalness of it all. And so they don't have a word to describe a non-binary person having sex with a woman or being in love with a woman. They don't have that word. So they're just using lesbian for the time being, until we come up with a better word. That's what they basically say in the video, and I hope that helps you all out.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully everyone can be, you know, respectful with their curiosity or their confusion. In particular, Kira spent a long time today talking about all of this, and one of the things that they pointed out was that it's very individual. It's very much like they can't really answer for anyone else. So if you're, you know, yeah. if you are interested in educating yourself some more on the topic, Kira talked to Chelsea about it for a while. They also talked to Adam and a few others about all of this and how, you know, how they see it and all of that. So if you want to educate yourself, that's a great way to do it as well. And you know, for as bad as Kira is in the game and with Chelsea and all of that, I do think that I'm still very happy that we have this kind of representation, getting us used to using the proper pronouns and helping educate people to, you know, learn more about all of this stuff. So
both things can be true. I can be irritated with Kira for being completely abysmal person in the Big Brother house, and yet I can also celebrate the fact that Kira is in the Big Brother house. So there.
There you go. One of the other questions I asked the audience was, who's the best target for Dane's game during his HOH reign this week? Last week, people agreed that Chelsea's best target was Kaylin. I said, no, I don't agree with this.
No.
I think I was right on that one.
I think you were right, Dane.
This week, I do agree with Dane and the audience pretty dramatically. Everyone says Chelsea is the right target. Second place was Sam, but it was a very, very minor second place. And I would personally disagree with Sam as a target, as I think you two would as well.
Yes.
Another one I asked was, having seen it play out now, because I asked last week how for or against you were the top-level video intel twist, and I think it was about 25 was the average against out of 100. This week, having seen it play out, the number was 31, so not really changing much in terms of approval. Once they saw it happen, they were still pretty like, eh, this is not good. Why did we do this? Why not just not do it in the first place? One more question. I wanted you to rank who do you think is most likely to leave in the double eviction to who is least likely to leave in the double eviction. So we're going to predict stuff here because, look, hey, with the stock watch happening, we're going to have to make purchases before Thursday night, before the spoilers come out for the double eviction. There's a lot of potential for lost money here because double evictions, theoretically, anything can happen. Netta could leave. Anything can happen.
Who's the guy who left during 15? Judd.
Judd
left. Yeah, I would never have predicted that. Yeah.
It's dangerous business. So I wanted to know, who do you think is most likely to leave? I think pretty obviously Sam is at the top of this list. Sam is the most likely to leave. In the chat, people are saying 30% liked the twist. No, this is a slider for or against. So most people were against in the slider of whether you were for or against. It's not that 30 people liked it and 70% of people didn't. It's that, the average was just in the 30s out of 100 in the scale of 1 to 100, and with 50 being eh, and 100 being I loved it, and 0 being I hated it. So I hope that clears that up a little bit. Anyway, second place, I don't know. What do you think, Brent? After Sam, who do you think is next most likely to go in the double eviction?
I think everybody would have said Kiki.
No, they said Eddie.
I was going to say Eddie. Damn it. Yeah, that's the other one. Yep. I switched it. I was like, I think it's probably Keegan, but no, Eddie.
There you go. Melissa, do you want to guess at number 3?
Has to be Kiki. Or maybe not.
Dane.
No, they said Kira. Kira number 3.
Yeah, I guess
it's
true.
I might have to offload my Kira stock currently. But I'm not sure. Yeah.
If Chelsea and then Eddie leave, then Brent's out of the draft.
Ooh. Am I really?
Already?
Ouch.
You lost Kaylin and you lost Holly. And now you got Chelsea.
I should have given like a prize for doing that in 4 weeks. Like, I tried to do that, Karen, I couldn't do that.
That's pretty.
You need to throw me a freaking parade for that.
Right? Yeah,
Karen hasn't lost anyone.
I still have an intact team. I got a lot of crap for Winston, but Brent intentionally took the number one spot to make sure nobody else could take Chelsea. Looking like a real bad call there.
Disappointed me. I'm really pissy with her, and I hope that Arissa reads her the riot act when she comes out, because she's not in the jury, so let her have it.
And now, as much as you are not interested in Eddie, he's your only hope.
Obi-Wan.
Aunt Grandma in the chat says, does Sam know how much danger she is in? No, she does not. She thinks that Adam is protecting her with the guys. Adam thinks he's protecting her with the guys, but Adam is not protecting her with the guys. And that's a big issue. So, no, she does not. So after Kira, it was, in fact, Kiki, number 4 most in danger. And then Adam. People thought Adam was the 5th most in danger. And from that point, it drops pretty significantly. People like Damien, Esty, Corey are all, in the mix there as maybe it's theoretically possible. And then down at the very bottom, Dane, Mark, and then people think Anthony is the safest in the double eviction. I'm not sure what it would look like if Dane and Anthony were on the block together, because I imagine that Dane would have Kiki and Esty and, by extension, maybe Damien, but maybe Damien also talks to Corey. And I think it also depends on who's the HOH in this scenario. So that's what it's looking like. I personally, I feel like Dane is probably the safest, but with Mark theoretically targeting Dane again, I don't think he's going to, but that could be a dangerous spot. But again, I feel like he's pretty safe. So probably not too much of an issue. All right. Anything else that we need to bring up before we wrap up here?
I think we're good. Very fun. Great job on the Stockwatch, Taryn. I would never have thought of, I did think of that, but I never would have thought of like trading in all of my Curious stocks to then go all in on Mark. Like, I wasn't that confident in Mark, but I was moderately confident. So that was a really good job. I will be on the lookout for those opportunities in the future.
All right. Well, we are back up on YouTube, so I hope you guys weren't too sad that we left. But we are going to wrap it up now. I will, of course, be back live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Thursday night, we will be live to recap the double eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7. Very, very excited to see what happens. Double evictions, always fun. Even if nothing happens, then we at least sped up the game a little bit and we'll have more fun with that.
Exactly. We didn't have to take a week to do it.
Yeah. Do we have a hashtag? Do we have a hashtag for this episode? Let me know. Let me know in the chat if you guys have a hashtag.
You guys have a hashtag, let us know.
Yes. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, where I will occasionally go live to talk about the feeds or play some games or do any kind of weird nonsense. Right. So come and hang out with me there. It's a great place to ask me questions if I'm live on Twitch. If you're interested in my opinions on things, then I'm there. I'm live. I'm responsive. So
Carter ask, are evicted house guests in the wild or are they in sequester for the comeback? No, they are in the wild. Taren has interviewed them.
Yes.
If you subscribe to the RHAP feed, then you will have their interviews in your stream.
All right. I'm seeing hashtag garbage minions. I believe Melissa said that.
That's something I said.
Yeah. They're garbage minions. The pretty boys.
Sounds like something
minions.
I would say.
Yes. How dare you, Melissa?
Yes. You totally don't even remember.
All right. Well, for Brent and Melissa, I am Taren Armstrong. Hashtag garbage minions. We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.